And many times we have these little inward prayers that we just don't want anybody to hear, and we're just like, okay, Father God, please. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't hear you. And that doesn't mean it at all. But something happens with a prayer that goes from inside our heart outside of our mouths. It proves something to the Lord. It says, God, you don't just have my heart, you have my voice. And you have my voice in every area of my life, whether it be at school to tell somebody about Jesus or in my prayer life to get you to answer my prayers and do a miracle in our life, in my life. Whether it be my praise, where I give you thanks and I give you praise every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no matter if there's a band up there leading me into praise and worship or not, I am with my voice praising you. God, I praise you. I lift you up higher. And I got this revelation this year, and every single day I am singing my own song to God, and I am lifting him up. And that's all I care about. I'm lifting your name up, God. I'm lifting you up. I'm lifting you up higher. I'm lifting you up higher. You are the Lord over my family. You are the Lord, and I am giving him his rightful place, and I am praising him because I've got a revelation of the fact that God will answer every prayer, and God will answer every need when I cry out to him. And I'm going to show you this here in the scripture as we dig into it. Isaiah 49 says, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, but do not be afraid. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Who wants to know some things they don't know? I want to know some things I don't know. Psalms 86:7, listen to my prayer. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever trouble strikes, and you will answer me. Who's ever wondered if God really hears them? We all have been there. Do you really hear me? Are you really near to me? When we cry out to him, it just says right here, I cry out to you an urgent cry, and whenever I'm in trouble, you answer me. Have any of you ever been in trouble and you wish God would come through for you? God's saying he will every single time, as long as you cry out to him. Psalms 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. You know, we have a whole generation that I do believe feels very far from God. They go to church, their parents are raising them in church, they're raising them as Christians, and they're sitting in the pews, and they're there every day the time the door is open. But they feel very far from God. They feel like God's a distant thing. They do read their Bible. They do pray. They do all the right things, but they still don't feel close to him. And right here it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. And so I believe that each and every one of you today, if there is anybody that came to this conference saying, you know what, I don't feel near him, you're going to leave here today with the answer. Now, it's up to you whether you use it or not, but you are going to be able to have the answer to how to feel near to him, how to draw God to you. He's always there, but it's us recognizing his presence in our life that makes all the difference. And I just want to encourage you, if you're having a hard time staying awake, you just do whatever you need to do. If you need to punch your neighbor to wake them up, that is fine too. Don't allow them to miss this, okay? Make sure that you're keeping everybody accountable, keeping everybody awake. They need to hear this. Y'all aren't done with the day yet. Y'all have heard a lot of good word, but it's still coming. Get all your money's worth. All right, so it's an outward sign of us coming to the end of ourselves and coming into true dependence and trust in and on him. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your ways. Acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. And speaking out loud comes through our flesh and out of our mouth. And it doesn't even just tell God what we need. It tells ourselves what we need. It tells ourselves the right answer, and we tell the devil the right answer. We're telling the devil that God's going to provide for me. I'm trusting. When I say, God, help me, I'm trusting God. So you can't come against me. You're telling more than just yourself. You're telling more than just God. You're telling the enemy who you're trusting in. Hezekiah in Isaiah, you know, he, with a humble heart, wholeheartedly cried out to God to lengthen his life. He was a good king, he was a godly king, and he got sick. And the prophet Isaiah came to him because he asked for him, and he said, you know what, make preparations, you're going to die. Wouldn't that be a great prophecy to get? Thanks. You know, let me go stand on the word. But instead, Hezekiah knew that he himself could not lengthen his life. But he knew that God could. And not only did he knew that he could, but he knew that he would if he'd cry out to him. And so Hezekiah wept and wept and wept and cried out to the Lord. And it said that he wept God with a mighty heap. That's what it actually the translation is. With a mighty heap, he wept. He wept as much as he could weep. You know, and many of y'all have been there in those desperation times where there's no more that you can cry out. It's just one of those desperate situations. Your heart is so heavy, you're just, there's no more to give. I have to give it all out. And you know, God came in and lengthened his life for 15 more years. He did not lengthen his life because Hezekiah cried. He lengthened his life because Hezekiah humbled himself before God and believed that God would lengthen his life. His faith, his weeping, his trust, his crying out to God proclaimed his faith. That no matter what you said you were gonna that I was gonna die, but I know in faith, if I cry out to you and I wholeheartedly humble myself before you, you will lengthen my life. There is nothing I can do to lengthen my life, but you, God, can, because you are the number of our days. So Hezekiah got his answer, and he lengthened his life. Then we know about Bartimaeus in the New Testament, where he was blind, and he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm telling you, he was obnoxious. You know what I'm saying? He would not stop. He was yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody was saying, "Shut up. You've been blind forever. What you talking about? What can he do for you?" You know, he said, "You know what? It doesn't matter how long I've been blind. I just know that I'm blind. And I know I want to be better. I want to see. And the only person who can make me see is coming by. And I've got to get his attention." He had a faith in him that Jesus is coming by. And I don't care what y'all say. I don't care how long I've been blind. I don't care my situation. I don't care my circumstance. I don't care how much trouble I'm facing. I don't care that my parents are looking like they're going to get a divorce. I don't care that my sister looks like she's backsliding. I'm going to cry out to Jesus because I know he can and he will. His focus was so straight on Jesus. He didn't look at the crowd. He didn't listen to those people who told him to be quiet and just accept his circumstances. Just accept it. No, he would not accept it because he had the faith and said, "I'm going to focus on Jesus and I'm going to get my answer. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to yell until he hears me." Yeah, good. You know, not only will crying out make our prayer effective, but our out loud praise, like I talked about earlier, our out loud praise, you will see your enemies defeated. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. I just really want to read this whole chapter, but I'm really going to try not to. It is so good, and so in your own time, please go read the whole entire chapter. The story is absolutely incredible. But here is Jehoshaphat, a godly king. He is the king of Israel, and the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites came to start a war with Jehoshaphat. And the messengers came and told him, "All these people are against us. There's no way." I mean, they knew that this battle was bigger than they had people to fight. They knew that in their own power, there's nothing they could do. I mean, this was kind of like a go in there and know you're going to get killed kind of battle because there was too many men. So Jehoshaphat did not pray whining to God. He did not go complaining to God. This is what he said. "Lord God of our ancestors, you are the God in heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. You have power and strength, so no one can stand against you. Our God, you forced out the people who lived in this land as your people Israel moved in, and you gave this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham. They lived in this land, built a temple for you. They said, 'If trouble comes upon us, or war, punishment, sickness, or hunger, we will stand before you and before this temple where you have chosen to be worshipped. We will cry out to you when we are in trouble. Then you will hear and save us.'" And so that's exactly what they did. They cried out to God. His prayer to God was full of faith. He knew God had brought them there. He knew that God was good enough to do it. He knew that he had to come in and fulfill his promise to his people. He just told God about it and praised him for it. Then God spoke to one of the men, And he said, tomorrow go down there and fight those people. They will come up through the pass of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the ravine. You won't need to fight in this battle. Just stand strong in your places and you will see the Lord save you. Don't be afraid or discouraged. So go out against those people tomorrow. So then Jehoshaphat bowed down and worshiped the Lord, and then the people bowed down and worshiped the Lord, and then the praise and worship team, the Levites, came in and worshiped the Lord, and everybody was filling everything with worship and praise to God, believing that God was going to save them because he just said that he was going to fight it. So then they got up the next day and they went out to fight, and they continued to praise the Lord. They actually said, they were praising him saying, thank the Lord because his love continues forever. As they began to sing and praise God, the Lord set ambushes for the people of Ammon, Moab, and Edom who had come to attack Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites attacked the Edomites, destroying them completely. After they had killed the Edomites, they killed each other. When the men from Judah came to a place where they could see the desert, they looked at the enemy's large army, but they only saw dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. They had so much blessing after that from the war and all the stuff that they had gotten from those enemies, they couldn't even carry it all away. They had won so big in an impossible situation. Why? Because they cried out to God and they praised God. Their faith moved God's hand for their benefit. And God can move in your life just like he just did in Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel's life. As you cry out to him and as you praise him, guess what? God will see your faith. God will see your faith. God will see that you believe him, and he will delight in that. God's favorite thing is for us to believe in him. It says delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How do you delight in him? You believe him. And when you believe him, those desires of your heart do come. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go into the desires. Obviously, they need to be lined up with the Word of God, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so I'm not going to teach on that right now. But Psalms 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So remember, we look in the Word, and we see that God says to cry out to him. He will answer us, and then he reminds us to glorify him. And so we have to know that all those things are necessary. We cannot just cry out to him and forget that he did it. You know what I'm saying? And it's easy to do that because, like the other day, I cried out to God for something I was really concerned about, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, my husband's probably going to laugh. My computer was not working. I promise you, it was not working. I had worked on it all day long. I could not turn it back on. It had just blanked out, and the lights were on. It wasn't working. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got a virus. There's something wrong with my computer. All my notes are on here. I don't have anything to back them up. I don't have any hard copies. I mean, you're talking about hours and hours and hours of studying and notes from lots of different classes and stuff that I do in my computer that I don't have any backup for. And so I'm flipping out. And I'm about to teach class the next day that I need notes for. And I'm about to teach life growing that I've already studied for. I was like, oh my gosh, it's not turning on. And Stephen, he's like, push the button and leave it, you know, keep pushing it. And I'm like, I've done that. I did that already. I know that you should turn it off and turn it back on. I'm like, and I know how to turn off and on my computer. So anyways, I am like flipping, and I truly am crying out to God. And first I'm like, this is weird. And then I start really getting worried. Like, what if this happened? What if my computer shuts down and I don't have anything? You know, this is not okay with me. This is not good. So I'm like, well, okay, let's cry out to the Lord. So I'm crying out to God. God, you know. I have to have this computer to work. I have all this stuff. I know that you can fix this. I believe that you can fix this. Okay, well, of course, he comes home. He pushes the button, and it turns on. And I'm like, and he's like, I told you to push the button. And I'm like, I pushed it at least 10 times and did the whole hold down thing. So at first, I was like back and forth, like, well, maybe that was just a fluke, you know? But I was like, you know what? I better praise God. Because all I have to say is I did cry out to him. It was not working, and now it is working. And so it would be easy to excuse it, except for the fact that all I can say is it wasn't working. And now it is. You know, and I don't think Stephen just has the magic touch. I've turned on my computer a billion times. Whatever. So anyways, I mean, I'm just telling you that, I mean, even like, okay, for instance, like I was in a bad mood the other day because I had a crick in my neck. And I still have a crick in my neck. And so I teach my kids, you know, and I don't believe in being in a bad mood. I believe that's totally ungodly. I believe that Jesus saved you from all your bad moods, and you're not allowed to have a bad mood. Now, you can have it, but you have to speak the word and get out of it fast. Well, I was in, but I was in a bad mood. And Stephen was like, "You're in a bad mood." And I was like, "Thanks." And I was like, "I don't even know why I am other than I can't move my neck, you know?" And so that hurts, and it's still bothering me. And so anyways, it was really, really bothering me the other day, and I was sitting down studying and stuff, and I was like, wait a minute, cry out to God. And I've been doing all these stretches and trying to get it to work and stuff, and woke up the next day, still had a crick in my neck, and I was like, okay, I'm going to cry out to the Lord. And I'm like crying out to the Lord because I'm in pain, and I'm like, no, I'm going to be healed. I'm going to testify this at Life Growing, and I'm going to say my crick in the neck is gone. But you know, I believe, you know, it's still there, kind of. It's getting better. But I believe that I'm going to persevere. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. What if God doesn't answer you right away? Yeah. Does that mean you stop praying and he'd say that he doesn't really want you to not have a crick in your neck anymore? He does want me to be healed. He's already healed me. Yeah. He died on the cross and he healed me. And so now what I'm doing is I'm standing on the word. I'm healed. I'm not going to have a crick in my neck forever. God's going to heal my crick in my neck, and it's already getting better. I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to continue to cry out, and I'm already thanking God that I'm healed. I can already move it better. The other day in class, I was, like, really awkward. I was like, can't really move. But I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to get my answer. You know, in Daniel 10, he was fasting and praying for 21 days, and he, on the first day, the angel of the Lord came and said, I heard your prayer on the first day. But Daniel did not give up on the first day. He prayed continually until he got his understanding that he needed. He persevered and he got the answer. And that's what we have to be. We have to be people who persevere and believe God at any cost. You know, and I want to make sure that you understand this is not a formula. This is a principle. The principle is that we pour out our whole heart. If God has our whole heart, then he has to have our whole voice. And what speaking our whole heart out does is it builds our faith. It checks our motives. Have you ever prayed with wrong motives? I've been there many times. But, you know, when you pray out loud, you check yourself. You're like, oh, that was really prideful. Or that was really judgmental. Probably shouldn't be going to the throne of God like that. You know, and you check yourself. You think, you know what? This is really boring, and I'm just bored, and I don't really care about this. I'm praying just to pray, but there's no passion in here. You know, and God wants a prayer full of passion, full of your whole heart, full of right motives. He wants to change your motives. He wants to work on your heart. When you go to him about other people, speaking it out loud is the best thing you can do because he can correct what's inside of you. He can help you have the right mindset, the right love for that person. Because if not, you're just complaining to God. I mean, and that's not going to work. The only thing that works is that we believe that he'll do what he said. And so we have to make sure that our motives are correct, and that's one way we can do it. You know, saying it out loud, it requires more of us. It requires our heart, our voice. You know, it voicing it aloud shows our true desire, our true concern, our true heart. And it says when we come to him in truth, he hears us. You know, it proclaims to God, you and the devil. And remember that, how important it is to tell the enemy who you're believing in this situation. He knows that he's thrown this at you, or he knows you're going through this. But he doesn't know who you're believing until you tell him. He can't read your thoughts. And when you say, God, help me, you are my Savior in this situation, the devil knows now, oh, they're standing on the Lord. They're trusting in God. You know, it takes your request from, well, I would like him to do something. Well, he might do something. Well, I think he can do something. Well, the word says he'll do something. To, I know that my God is going to do this in my life. You know, you just got God's attention with your faith. You turned it from doubt and you believed when you prayed and when you spoke it out. You know, Hebrews 4:16 says we come boldly to the throne of grace. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Do you ever need some mercy? Do you ever need some grace for a situation? There's no other way to come to the Lord but boldly. There's no other way but boldly. And I don't know anybody that's bold that doesn't speak with their mouth. You know, I don't know anybody that's quietly bold. I think that's kind of an oxymoron. So let's go to Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And that's part of the concern. We don't know who God is, and we have not put him in his rightful place. Have we cried out to him as Abba, Father? Is he your Abba, Father? Is he your Abba Father? Because if he is, it's only the first response to ask your dad to help. It's your first response. If you have a good relationship with your father, if you have a good relationship with your mother, your first response is to cry out, Mommy, I hurt myself. I need a Band-Aid. You know, who's going to get her the Band-Aid? Mom is. But she didn't ask Trevor to get the Band-Aid. She asked Mom. Okay, if Dad's there, she didn't ask Tia to go get the Band-Aid. She asked Dad to help her and hold her and give her a hug and help her and meet the need. Who do we cry out? Who's our first response? Because that is our Father. That's our true Father. Whoever we first respond to and say, God, you help me. And so many times that's exactly what we're doing. We're expecting our best friend, our pastor, our leader, our parent, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, to meet that need or to help us in that situation, and they're limited. They're not all-powerful. They're not all-knowing. They're not everywhere at all times. They cannot do what God can do for you. And the thing is we don't know that because we have not said, okay, God, you are going to be my Father. I declare that. I declare that you are Lord of my life. Jared, come on up here. Quickly, quickly, run. Okay. Here I am. Trying, I'm really thirsty. I need to get that water bottle. Okay, ugh. Okay. it's really up there. Okay, there's no way that I can reach it, right? Okay, so I'm trying, and I'm trying, and I'm trying, and I'm using all my energy, and I'm going to need a nap after this sermon because I'm jumping all the time. Okay, Jared, can you get that water for me? Thank you. Okay? Okay, me asking him to get it was saying, I can't get it, but you can. You know, he could have just taken control and said, here, I'll get it for you. But God is not controlling. He's not going to control your life. He is not going to just do everything for you. You're going to have to say, I can't get it. Can you get it, God? I can't pick that up. I'm not strong enough. Can you? Or will you? Not can you, because we know he will. We know he can. And so it's as easy as that. Isn't that so simple? But yet every day we have a hard time crying out to God and asking him to help us in our everyday things. You know, I'm practicing on the little things like a crick in your neck and the computer turning on. But I'm getting ready for the big stuff. I have faced big stuff that I think, you know what? How different would that situation have been if I would have cried out to God first? How much heartache would I have saved myself from? You know, I believe that God hears us. The other night I was crying out to the Lord, and Stephen never wakes up when I leave the bed to go pray. But he did, and I needed him to. I needed him to help me through it, and I said, I'm just praying. No, come in here, talk to me. And he never does that, but it was the right thing. God woke him up to talk to me about this. I needed to talk to him about it. It was an issue I've been dealing with. I couldn't talk to anybody else about it. I was taking it to the Lord, but I've been taking it to the Lord over years now. And I needed somebody that God had ordained to be there for me. And so he was not the source, but God used him as the source. People cannot be the source, but God can use them. And so you have to be able to know that, no, I'm first going to God, then he might use people. But you can't go to people first. That is not, they're never going to have the answer that you need because they are not God. Okay. You know, I've had God meet needs of mine that I haven't even spoken or even prayed. just thoughts, because he wants to bless me and he knows what I want. You know, there's times where I know my daughter is sitting in the bathroom and she just wants some makeup and she hasn't said anything. She wants me to put blush on her and put some lipstick on her. But I know she wants it. She doesn't have to tell me. And so I give her some lipstick, and she usually does tell me. But I give her some lipstick, and I give her some blush. And she's so excited. Thank you, Mom. And she's usually asking, well, can I have some eyeshadow too? So she's always more. But, you know, there are times where God does that, and I'm blessed, and I'm thankful that he's that kind of God. But there are times where it's the time where he's like, I can't move if you're doubting. I can't move if you don't have any faith. It just doesn't work that way. So you're going to have to ask. Okay, so Psalms 107. Go to Psalms 107. All right, I'm going to quickly just scan over it, but start in verse 4. Everybody there? Some people had wandered in the desert lands. They found no city in which to live. They were hungry and thirsty, and they were discouraged. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, cried out, and he saved them from their troubles. He led them on a straight road to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love and for the miracles he does for people. He satisfies the thirsty and fills up the hungry. Okay, that is a place where we can see that they cried out for a physical need. They were hungry and they were thirsty. They cried out to God, and God met their physical need. Let's look at verse 10. Some sat in gloom and darkness. They were prisoners, suffering in chains. They had turned against the words of God and had refused the advice of God Most High. So he broke their pride by hard work. They stumbled and no one helped. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and he saved them from their troubles. So we see emotionally God saved them when they cried out. Okay, verse 17, some fools turned against God. Fools, remember, turned against God and suffered for the evil they did. Okay, they refused to eat anything, so they almost died. So these were disobedient, spiritually disobedient people. They cried out to God, God forgave them, and God answered their prayer and met them and filled them spiritually. Okay, so God, as we cry out, we can cry out for physical, we can cry out for spiritual, we can cry out for emotional. It doesn't matter what it is. God, we see in the Word that he meets all of those needs. Okay, so time and time again, we see God's action in response to the cry of his people. You know, it's a symbol of our humility to God. And it says in Psalms 9:12, God does not forget the cry of the humble. And if you don't want your cry to be forgotten, you're going to have to say it out loud and humble yourself before the Lord. Just like I just did. I can't do it on myself. I'm going to have to humble myself. I am not tall enough to get that water. I have to have somebody bigger and greater. And you have to have somebody bigger and greater in your life to get what you need. When should we cry out? Let's look at some examples in Scripture. Okay, we cry out for help with sin, specifically habitual sin. Okay, it says, in the day I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Psalms 138:3. Okay, many of us are held captive in habitual sin, in sin. It's just hard for us to get out. Some of us girls, we just can't help ourselves. We are going to judge them, and we're going to gossip. We just have a hard time. It's just like we can't help ourselves. It's out our mouth before we catch it. We have to say something. Some of us guys, in whatever it is, I don't even know. You use the example that you have. You know what sin you're dealing with. I don't have to tell you. But God says that he will come in after you cry out and strengthen your inner man. And he will strengthen your spirit man. Now listen, you have to feed the spirit man. You have to go to church. You have to be submitted under authority. You have to read the word. You have to do all those things to strengthen your spirit man. But even in all your efforts, you can't be good enough. You can't overcome that sin all by yourself. You have to cry out to God and say, God, I need supernatural strength in my spirit man. I need you to strengthen my inner core so that I can have self-control. So that I can do the right thing. We need his help. And although he's not going to do it all for you, he's not going to pick up the Bible and put it in front of you and say, read it. But he can come in and strengthen your inner man and encourage what you've already been feeding your spirit man. And enable it where we can be victorious. Okay, cry out to make the right decision. Proverbs 2:3. Well, some of you might be able, well, when you make the right decision, you just do, there's a right decision and there's a wrong decision. You just choose the right one. Well, some decisions aren't that easy. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we don't even have time to find out what to do or to study. This says, Proverbs 2:3 says, cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. And there are moments where you're not going to be able to Google it. There are moments where your Bible's not going to be near and you're not going to be able to look it up. And what are you going to do then? You're going to cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And God's going to come in and give you supernatural wisdom to make the right decision. Okay? We cry out when we're overwhelmed. Psalm 61. You know, when my parents got divorced, I was overwhelmed. My dad left back and forth when I was 15. They were literally separated back and forth from the time that I was like 19, I think. Before they finally got a divorce, and it was a tumultuous time in my family. My mom was depressed. I'd never seen her that depressed. My life was turned upside down. My parents had always been together. My sister's lives had been turned upside down. I didn't really know about anything. I didn't know really about my relationship with the Lord. It had been rocky up to that point. And I remember just crying and crying and crying and being so overwhelmed and thinking, there is no way I can carry this burden any longer. And I literally opened the word, and it went to Psalm 61. And I'm not saying that's going to happen every time for you, but for me, God graced me to open the right scripture. And from that point on, I have stood on this scripture. It says, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you for help, for my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. And from that point on, God set me upon that rock and stabilized my faith. And I've never been the same since. There's been an inner strength in me that I knew that I was on the rock that was stronger than I was, that was higher than I was, and that I could endure whatever came my way in life because I had him. And I needed that because I was overwhelmed. Do you ever get overwhelmed? Have you ever been in that situation? What should you do? What do you do? What is there to do? Nothing. But to cry out to God and let him lead you to the rock that's higher than he is, higher than you are. Okay, we can cry out for faith. Everybody say, cry out for faith. Okay, when the father came to Jesus with the boy who was tortured with spirit, remember he was throwing himself down. I mean, just horrible. Can you imagine you being the sister of this brother? I mean, your whole life, this boy is throwing himself in the fire and going crazy and having these crazy episodes. And you're thinking, oh, my gosh, he's my brother. You know, but his dad said, oh, ho, ho, we're not going to have this any longer because the answer has come and somebody who can fix this has come. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, you know what? I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Have you ever been in a situation where it's hard to believe God will do it? You don't know if he can because it's so big and it's so hard and it's so overwhelming that can you do this? Can you fix this? You know, God doesn't condemn you for that. But the right answer is, help me in my unbelief. I know you can. I know the word says, help me believe it. And God can help you believe the word so that you can get your answer. So that you can have the faith to get your answer. Okay, cry out for victory. Say, cry out for victory. You know, over and over again, you see Israel crying out for victory over their enemies. Over and over again, you see David crying out for victory over his enemies. I've been in a time in my life where there have been people who have totally been mean and not Christian to me. You know, they have not been nice. They should have been nice. They should have been Christian. They are Christians, but they did me wrong. They gossiped. They judged me. They manipulated the situation. They were trying to bring my defeat. But you know what? In that time, I would just read Psalms, and I would have their faces in my mind. I'd be like, get them back, God. Harm my enemies, you know? Get them. You know, overcome my enemies. You know, so in my mind, I have these faces that they are my enemy, you know? And then God showed me, hey, they're not your enemy. They're saved. They're Christians. Now they're not acting like it right now, but they're not your enemy. I came, and in the New Testament, it says, you don't fight against flesh and blood. You fight against principalities and powers of the air. And that's where we have to remember that our battle is. And when you know that, you already know that Jesus defeated the devil. And so how much more can you have faith that he will defeat your enemies? He can defeat your enemies because he already did. And so we've got to make sure that the enemy is the right face. It's the devil and not a person. Okay, we can cry out for blessing. Say, cry out for blessing.
Cry out for blessing.
Okay, Jabez called, say called, upon the Lord. He said, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that I may not cause pain. And God granted his request. You know, that seems a little selfish to me. But hey, if it works, I'm going for it. I want the blessing of the Lord, and I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to ask him to bless me and enlarge my territory, and that I may not cause pain to anybody. And guess what? He's going to answer my request because of my faith, just because Jabez had faith to receive the blessing. Say, cry out for healing. Elijah was at the widow of Zarephath, and he, the son of the widow, got sick and stopped breathing right in front of him. Can you imagine going to your uncle's house to visit, and his son just stopped breathing right in front of you? You think, gosh, this is a bad time to visit. You know? And so here Elijah is thinking, oh my gosh. He didn't say, oh my gosh. But he, and I don't think he was thinking it. But guess what he did? The weird thing is that he laid on top of him. That was weird. But he cried out to God. He cried out to him. He laid on top of him, cried out to him, and guess what? What happened? Anybody know? Anybody can guess? Even if you haven't read the story? Okay, he started breathing. He lived. And we just saw about Bartimaeus. He got his sight. We saw about Hezekiah. He got years added to his life. Okay, 1 Samuel 7:9 says we can cry out for others. Say for others. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. You know, I'm going to just tell you right now, many of us, including myself, can become selfish. And we use all our prayer time for ourselves. And we forget that our country needs us to cry out for it. We forget that our president needs us to cry out for him. I cry out for the president's salvation. You know, we forget that our friend who's going through a tough time needs us to cry out for them. We forget, well, our parents are thinking about getting a divorce. Well, that's their issue. That's their job to figure out. And that's their job to cry out. That's the problem. We've been telling everybody else it's their job to cry out for years. When is it going to be our job? And that's the one thing about crying out, is that it makes us take ownership of our relationship with the Lord. He is my God, and I will cry out to my God, and I will get the answer for my problem. You know, we have to take responsibility and cry out for ourselves and stop asking and hoping that other people will pray and cry out for us. Okay, we got to cry out. I cry out for, I got convicted about this. I teach value of life at High Point, and I have a passion for the value of life and to end abortion. And I have been crying out every day that everything that's negative would be revealed about Planned Parenthood and all the favor would be stripped away. And it's happening. God's doing it. I believe it, and I know he is. You know, I went back to, let me continue this. There is a time to wait. I know that. It says in Psalms 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. It doesn't mean that you wait and stop crying. You can wait and cry out to the Lord. You can wait and still be perseverant. And we have to be the ones who can wait and rest in the Lord, but also cry out to him and not give up. The Bible describes God as, and I think that this is the key, if we knew who God was, truly, then we wouldn't have a problem crying out to him first, as a first responder. Okay? He is God the Father. He's everywhere at all times. He has all power. He's all-knowing. He knows every answer to every question. He's Jesus the Son. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend. He's our Restorer. Our Holy Spirit is the teacher in all things, the comforter, the guide. Jehovah walks with us personally. He's the God whom is almighty. He will work contrary to every other situation in your life to work it out for your good. He will work against nature to work it out for your good. We see it in the Word where he changed the stars so that they could get the victory. He will do whatever it takes for you to win because you're his. He's the provider of every need. Who needs money for college? Who needs money for a car? Who needs gas money? Who needs insurance money? Who needs money for clothes? Who needs money for, some of y'all need money for Christian education because y'all are up against that. Listen, God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh provides every need. He is our sanctifier. You know how hard it is to become like Jesus? That's pretty hard. But guess what? He actually says he'll help us change. He'll sanctify us. He's our banner. It means he's on our side. Who can be against us? He's our healer, our great physician, not only of our physical. He made your body. He can heal it. But guess what? He made your feelings. He made your emotions, and he can heal you. He can heal you from offense. He can heal you from hurt. He is our physician. He is our Prince of Peace. There is no source that can give you peace in whatever storm you've come in, and it doesn't matter what storm it is. It doesn't matter. You name it. He can give you peace because he is the Prince of Peace. He is our righteousness. When we can't do enough good or right things, we are right. He is our shepherd. He keeps us on the right path so we don't go astray. He is present at all times. He will never forsake you. He is the most high God of all gods. There is none higher or with more authority. He is bigger than your enemy, Satan, and has all authority over him. So why in the world would we not cry out to him? Why would we not say, I choose him to be the person I cry out to first? When I get into trouble, when I get into something, I cry out to God first. Why? Because, and the word says this too, he's not just your God, he's my God. And he's going to be my God today, he's going to be my God tomorrow, he's going to be my God the next day, and the whole world's going to see what God has done in my life, and I'm going to testify with my mouth what he's done because I have believed in him. And I have used my voice to do what he said he to do in the word of God. I have not only heard the word, but I have done the word. You know that's what it is when it says fearing the Lord. When you fear the Lord, that's what it is. You heard the word and you're doing it. And we know when we fear the Lord, we're blessed. We know that when we have faith, we delight in him and all our desires are met. So why don't we take ownership and say, okay, God, today you are my Abba Father. I cry out to you, Abba Father, and I will cry out to you first. I will no longer look to my parents. I will no longer look to the church. I will no longer look to other sources. You are my source. And I cry out to you alone, and I believe with everything in me, my whole entire heart, my whole entire being, that you will do what you said you'd do.